Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and good to be with you on your Sunday. What a beautiful weekend it has been. Without a doubt, we've gotten past Thanksgiving, and just what a gracious time that was. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But at the same time, what a beautiful season that we're in. The weather's definitely, without a doubt, cooling down. Matter of fact, there's hints of snow here and there. But anyway, we're headed into the holiday season, and what just a great time. But maybe today you've turned it on to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. Just want to thank you so much for being with us on your Sunday, on your drive time, as you're headed to wherever it might be. My understanding is this weekend, with the holiday season of Thanksgiving, is one of the biggest, busiest times that in our history. So just be careful out there. A lot of people are on the move, headed back for Monday work. Maybe you're traveling today. You are doing the same thing. Just be safe out there as you travel. And if you're going through our great state of Iowa, watch out for the deer, because they are without a doubt still majorly on the move. So just be very, very careful as you're traveling today. Also too, those of you who are headed on your way to church this morning, just encourage you as you go to have your hearts be open and just be allow the Holy Spirit to work as you go to praise and worship the Lord, as you gather together as the body of Christ in the church. May it be a blessed time. And also, too, those of you that are listening, you're at home today, I want to thank you so much. I appreciate with the cards and the notes and just so much that comes through, just the words of encouragement that are spoken about this ministry on Sunday morning. And I don't take that for granted, nor do I take that lightly. And I just want to thank you for listening and being a part of our time together. And I've had different people ask me, because it's been several years since I've been doing this now, and just asking, why do you keep doing it? And then also too, what's the secret? And I think the why I keep doing this is because I really feel like I will continue to do it as long as the Lord provision makes it so we can continue to be on the radio and get out the word of God and his gospel message. And I think also too, I think people are yearning for just, I believe, to find pieces, to find truth. And also too, just down home speaking. Without a doubt, I am not a great orator. I just do the best that I can, allow the Holy Spirit to work. But I do feel that the Lord has qualified me to do such a thing as this, and that without, I would not even have a room or a space to talk about anything. But I don't take any of that for granted. But I just want to give that a big shout out. Just thankful for the Lord for allowing me to do this ministry. But before we jump in this morning, we got just a few things. This next week is going to be our last Vital Men's teaching for the season until after January. You don't want to miss out this week. We're going to be talking about, we're going to go back in. We're doing the book of Matthew through the eyes of the tax collector. We're going to go back in just this week only and look at the preparation of Jesus coming to the earth and the amazing things that happened as the Lord, as the our Father, sent His only Son as a baby through Mary, and just how all that took place. So you don't want to miss out on this Thursday about some great things that are happening, and then it's just going to be a really great time. Also, too, our next Warrior Breakfast is next Saturday, December 2nd. You don't want to miss out. And it's at the Lighthouse Church in New Sharon, Iowa, from 8 to 9 o'clock. It's a great time to bring men. It's a time in which I believe men are encouraged, enriched, and just something good is going to happen, I believe, with all that's within me. And again, that's December 2nd. Meat is always on the menu from 8 to 9, Lighthouse Church in New Sharon. You don't want to miss out on this men's event, where we sit down, we have breakfast, we have praise, and we get a word of encouragement from the Lord. What a great time. So you don't want to miss that. That's coming December 2nd, which is next Saturday from 8 to 9 o'clock. But let's jump in this morning. This past Thursday was Thanksgiving, a day in which we slow our nation down to be with family and friends, a day of gratitude of God's provision, thanking Him for the blessings of the harvest. Living in rural Iowa, we get a firsthand look, don't we, at the blessings. We sustain record heat and drought-like conditions, and yet the yields of the corn, the soybeans, the hay, the grass still came through. Most of Iowa yield in the corn, my understanding, bushels was around 250 bushel per acre, and the beans ranged from 60 to 70 bushel per acre on the soybeans, and all of three cuttings of hay and grass were done. Thank you, Jesus, for the harvest. What a great time it was to watch that season happen. On my wife and I's farm, we pray for the men who plant and harvest our fields. That the rains would come and as when needed, and without a doubt, I praise God that they did, and that it would be a profitable for them to do their work as they are farmers, and that is their livelihood of what they do. We've got two great men that help us on one side. We got the Vinutrick family to the north, and we got the Stout family to the south, and we're very blessed and very thankful for both of those men and their families and the organization of what they do, and just how God uses those men and the blessings. This year over on our farm, we had 9 baby calves, 4 bulls, and 5 heifers. That, too, was God's provision of our part of taking care of livestock, which was the first time for me this year. I took 5 of them over to the Sigourney Auction barn and received an incredible great price for my animals. But I have to tell you this, folks. It was the first time I've ever done it. Now, you might be thinking this is crazy, but I got to be honest with you. When I took those 5 calves over to the Sigourney sale barn and returned home, I wept most of the way back. It was just hard because you're watching those animals grow and whatnot. And I've talked to other men. You know, some of them just realize that it's just part of life and the cycle and different things. But I got to be honest with you. You get attached. And it was just a hard for me. But I'm thankful for God's provision. But I want to talk to you today on what Thanksgiving is, how it really got started. Now, most of us think it was through the Pilgrims, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and also too Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who created and made its beginnings. That is true for our nation, but God is the one who created it. The original day of Thanksgiving began over 3,000 years ago, in which God was called the Festival of Weeks. Now, I want to show you something this morning. We're going to go into the book of Deuteronomy, and I want to show you something today about why that is important, and as we look of how the original Thanksgiving started. And I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, starting with verse 9. And just umbrella of mercy as we're going through this morning. This is really, really important for us to see the importance of gratitude and of thanksgiving. He says this in verse 9. You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Then you shall keep the feast of weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of free will offering from your land, which you shall give to the Lord your God, which blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and you and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are among you at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. Now, why is this important? Now, let me share you with this in the morning how truly Thanksgiving begins. See, the Feast of Weeks was one of the harvest feasts. You were to present a grain offering to the Lord, and the offering was made of the first fruits of the harvest, giving God back the best of your harvest. Now, this was significant for Israel because that was part of their heritage. That's what God demanded. I want your first fruits. I want your first best of the harvest that you have. Give back to me as an offering, and I will bless you. Remember, throughout Scripture, we see in the Bible that God promises a blessing upon us if we keep His commands and decrees and be obedient in our lives to obeying God. So you might be asking again, why is this important, Mike? To see, the Feast of Weeks was a foreshadowing of the coming of the Messiah. Jesus was the Passover lamb who was raised from the grave at the Feast of First Fruits. Now, here is something big. 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, he ascended back to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. Jesus then sent the Holy Spirit, like he promised in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, to indwell and to empower the disciples for ministry. He promised the Holy Spirit and arrived at the day of Pentecost, which is another name for the Feast of Weeks, a day of first fruits for the church to gather and to show the gratitude. See, God sent his first fruit, which is the Holy Spirit, to us that empowers us and that comes in to dwell. When you look up the word for an example of gratitude, it's defined this way. The quality of being thankful, the readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness accordingly to the according to that's what's really, really important. Now, I dug in a little bit deeper. Now, this is on the, I would say, on the knowledge side, okay, of a positive psychologist who wrote this about gratitudes. And gratitude has two ways of thinking within your mind. Now, here's the first one. We have to acknowledge the goodness of life. In a state of gratitude, we say yes to life and we affirm that all elements of life make it worth living. Now, what I mean by that is that makes, when we think about that and making life worth living, that means that all parts of life make it worth it. Now, you might be asking, what does that include, the bad? Yes, it does. So yeah, I don't know about you, but when you ever have met a person who lives a life of gratitude that is struggling with some sort of illness in their life, they're absolutely pleasant to be around, and also too, their sustainability is greater in fighting off the sickness that indwells in their body. Now, some of them overcome, some of them get healed, some of them get healed on the other side, which means when they get to the Lord himself. But see, the Lord wants us to be gracious in all the things and of everything about life. That means, that, like I just shared with you, the good, but also too in the positive things. A lot of times we want God to only give us something, and we're only with him for a short period of time, and then we soon forget and no longer gracious for what he has done in our lives. See, living a life of gratitude is a choice of a mindset in which you choose to give gratitude, realizing that without God himself, the very air in which goes into your lungs is given by God himself that sustains life and all things and all parts of our life. And that is showing a life of graciousness, and that's showing a life of gratitude that helps us to pursue in the midst of our life. Now, here's the second one. The gratitude of recognizing that the sources of goodness lie outside yourself. Now, what I mean by that, you are grateful to God. You are grateful about people, grateful about animals and the world, but it's not about you. How often have you ever sat down, just real quickly, been gracious to God about his provision, about what he has done in the midst of your life? You know, obviously we can sit here and look at all the things that have been taken away, all the things of it seems like in the world of chaos in which we live, but we still, at the end of the day, folks, we are still free men and women in the United States. God has blessed us in such a way. Now, can God take that away? I believe without a doubt of that. When we turn our backs against God and don't show that our true obedience to him, asking God to show his favor on our land, I think we'll be taken. God bless America is only going to sustain for so long until people come back to realize who God is, much like Israel did. God pulled away when Israel no longer was gracious to him. The same thing will happen to us as the United States. Also, too, how often are you gracious for people? You know, I think about Thanksgiving when we truly sit down around the table. Are we truly gracious about the people who are there? You know, this past Thursday, I was gracious because I was with family. Had flown in. Now, my own kids from Florida and Colorado were not there, but I was thankful for the other families that were there. We did not have all members there, but what I was most grateful for was another year with my father. My dad, he's 82 years old. He still works. He still is very involved in life itself. I'm just gracious for another year with my father. I love my dad so much. My mother's been gone for over 14 years now. Man, do I miss having her around, without a doubt. But I'm blessed and thankful for the graciousness of my father and also two of my siblings. I got two sisters and a brother. I love them greatly, and I'm gracious for them. I'm thankful for their lives and their spouses. The other thing is, gratitude of animals. You know, I've shared with you just on our small farm, but we took on a few weeks ago a small little kitty that was on a farm. And it was dumped. I don't know how that kitty got on this other farm in which we were working. So I called my wife up. I said, hey, this cat's not going to make it if we don't take him in. What do you think? My wife said, bring him home. So first thing we did, go to the vet. We went to the Mahaska Vet Clinic. Man, those folks do a wonderful job out there. And they took care of us, took care of the kitty, got him back on track. He's eating good. He's getting filled out. But I have a graciousness for that kitty because I look at the Lord has given us life of animals and to take care. And I hope if you got animals that are outside or pets or you have livestock, treat them with gratitude. Treat them with graciousness for the provision that God has blessed us with. And also to think about the world. I have gratitude in knowing that people around the world took time to think about times of graciousness. Now, each nation has a time of its own Thanksgiving, but I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. I love to meet other people around the world itself and to hear about their nation and about their lives and the things. I'm thankful for that. But remember, gratitude, folks, is not about you. Gratitude is looking at other things and especially about what God has done in your life and what he has done and the provision he has made. Now, I'm going to take this morning. We're going to go to to Psalms 100. If you got your Bibles this morning, I encourage you to open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 100. And we're going to look at, I always like reading out of the New King James Version. That's kind of a new version that I've started with this year and kind of hung with it. But I want to talk to you about a song of praise to the Lord's of the faithfulness to God has been for his people and the people back to God. And then we're going to starting with verse 1. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all your lands. Man, how often do we do that? How often do we make a joyful noise and a shout out to the Lord, all the lands? And I love that when I went to Israel and I was able to see the nations. The nations come to the nation of Israel to see the places in which Jesus walked and the places in which God had worked his provision and the places to see where God has chosen people and done the miraculous things in his life. The places in which the Sea of Galilee, I was there and I saw where Jesus Christ walked on the Sea of Galilee. I was there at the place of the skull where Jesus was crucified. I was at the place of the tomb of where Jesus was resurrected from the dead. I was at the places and when the Ark of the Covenant came and Joshua and the people and the things of God came down from the sky and just all those things I saw in my life and I recognized it. I saw the place of called the Pilate Stone in which it was recognition of Pilate in 33 AD. It was amazing to see all of those things in which God's provision in the midst of the land. And the nations were there and they come and they sing in their own native tongue and they sing praises and shout to the Lord for all the earth. Man, is that, I just sends chills up my back even this morning in remembrance of the things of shouting to the Lord in their native tongue. You may not have understood the words they were saying, but you listen to the music, you soon got it figured out. Which moves me to point of verse number 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Man, I tell you what a time that we had to come before the Lord and to worship him through our voices and the gladness of singing and of his glorious presence. Man, there's nothing greater when you go to church and you can feel the presence of God. He falls. People are singing. There's tears. There's tears of gratitude, tears of joy, tears of how God has done his mighty works. I am so blessed. We got an elderly lady who goes to our church and her husband died at a very young age and she raised up 3 boys on her own. And I tell you what, this woman is phenomenal. I just love to listen to her stories. She loves Jesus. She loves the church. She loves her family. And she has been what... When she sings, and she's an elderly woman, and she's got her hands raised, she's loving God, she's praising him, and she's just thankful for God's provision. Without a doubt, you're around her for a short amount of time, you can see the gladness of the Lord upon her and on her heart and what God is doing. But let's move to verse number 3. Now, that the Lord, he is God, it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Man, I tell you what, when you look at that, we realize that in God's eyes, we are sheep in his pasture. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I go by and I see sheep out in a pasture, you will always see, generally speaking, when they go to a different paddock or a different movement, you will always see that one sheep leading the other sheep. And especially when the shepherd comes out to lead his sheep, they know his name. They follow him. They're out in the field. And as soon as he comes out, they come running. I see the same thing a lot of times with my cattle. I have this past summer, I had 9 mama cows and calves out there and also the bull. And all I had to do was come out and drive my side-by-side. They got so they recognized it. I come out, I get out of that side-by-side and got ready to feed them and they come running. I tell you what, they are running as fast as they can. They know me by name. They know my voice. And this is interesting that I caught myself doing. I would count. I was out counting how many cows, how many calves, and the bull, making sure they were all there. Because if they weren't, I was going to go looking. I was going to go see that one. I tell you what, we got one cow right now, a mama cow. We have separated the calves from them. And the bull is now out. And there's this one cow that's always behind. She is always the last one. She'll be a ways off. And I wait for her. I'll actually hold back some food. I'll hold back some feed to make sure she is taken care of when she gets there. You only do that because you love your animals in which that you give to them. And that's what Jesus, God is for us. He loves his sheep. He loves his people. And we are to come back and to serve God. And number four, in verse four, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Man, I tell you what, this morning, how often do we enter his gates with thanksgiving, with gratitude in our heart? You see, thanksgiving should be more than just a one time a year. Gratitude is a choice of making of what God's done in your life and the praises in which he's done. From the time of your birth to the time of coming to know Jesus, I praise God. I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 12 years old. And I've told you many times it was at a Spear Family Revival. I'll never forget it. But I've also too remember God's presence in my life when I was 5 years old at a little boy in a church in Des Moines. And when I saw a stained glass mirror it felt like God was on my heart and on my life very much as a young boy. And I've seen him throughout my life. I just can't say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your provision and also to the inspiration that you have blessed me and my family in my life. I am praising God for who he is. I am so blessed. I've got a beautiful wife. I'm thankful for her. I've got five beautiful children, two in my first marriage. My wife had three in hers, and we have grandbabies and grandkids, and I am a blessed man. My quiver is full, and I'm just thankful, and I bring to his courts with thanksgiving and praise for who Jesus Christ is. And I pray that this morning, maybe again, that you're traveling down the road or that you're on your way to church or you're sitting there, count your blessings of what God has done and the provision of what he has done. This past week, we got what I would call one of the ladies in our church, ladies that listen to us on the radio, and she sent us a check. And she says, Mike, it's been a tough year, but she sent us towards a blessing for Vital Ministry. We were blessed. She was blessed. And I was just blessed. My wife looks at me. She goes, we can't cash a check because it's more than I know that this woman can give. And I said, we need to honor her and cash that check and allow it to go for God's provision for Thanksgiving. That was her word of giving a portion of her first fruits. She was bringing thanksgiving into the courts and being thankful for how the Lord has blessed her. That is so good. And in verse 5, it says this, for the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I tell you what, are we not thankful for that this morning and having an attitude of gratitude? Living a life of gratitude is a choice, folks, in which you continue to praise God for who he is in the middle of your circumstances, no matter what they are. We've got a lady in our church, her and her husband just received another bad situation. He has cancer, stage 4 cancer. He has been alive since it was stated for over 2.5 years since he had found out he has stage 4 cancer. She is believing God for a miracle. She is believing that God's provision will take care of her husband. You know, what do you do on moments like that? You come alongside that person. You lift them up. You stand alongside them. You just call out and praise God for who he is. And what I have been so thankful for, we've went out and another man and I went out and we visited her and her husband. And we had a blessed time. We came and we brought communion. We had a time of praising God for God is good. God is good in the good times, and God is good in the midst of sickness and midst of things that we don't understand in our lives, because God is good all the time. God is always good. And that's a mindset. That's a choice. That's what helps us get through those moments in which we struggle in our lives to see how God is working. And we know that God is always on the move and always working out every detail in our lives, and we are blessed by that because his mercy is everlasting, and again, his truth endures forever. Man, we are in a season of we're looking for truth, folks, aren't we? We're trying to find where truth is and where it is established and what is truth. Pilate asked Jesus that, what is the truth? And Jesus looked at him, I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. That is what Jesus is in our life. He is the truth. And through God the Father who sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Man, is that not a God who is merciful? Is that not a God whose truth endures throughout all the generations, passed down from one to the other? From the promises that we read clear back in the very beginning, the promise of Abraham, of all the way down from Adam, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the way down to the present generations that we have to do. God's truth is good. And we're thankful we're even seeing that and his truth of being merciful and the state of Israel today. I believe today that Israel will overcome. They will pass the terrorism of Hamas and what they are doing and the devastation, the terrorists. And I believe that God will prevail and save his nation and the good will come from it. I believe, folks, the greatest revival that is about to happen on the planet is on the very precipice of about where it's to begin. But we have to be gracious and be patient in the midst of the waiting, because we serve a good, good Father who loves his people. I believe that with all that's within me. I believe without a doubt that God sheds tears when those of his who choose not to love him and pass away and go to the gates of hell. We serve a God who truly cares and weeps over those that are lost. We still pray for those that are the prodigal, that are still living today. We pray for God's goodness and mercy, that it will come and we live with a life of gratitude and thanksgiving of who he is. Ah, man. Thank you, Jesus, for who that you are. If you would, let's pray this morning. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for Thanksgiving, a time in which we come together as families and we show and we praise you for the harvest, for the harvest not only that we see in the land, but the harvest of souls that we see amongst spiritually, Lord. Help us not only just to see what we can see, but also to see the unseen of the greatest harvest that's yet to come, that you're bringing, Lord, for those souls that are lost that will come back to know you, Jesus. We're thankful for that. We're thankful, too, for the harvest that's coming for the nation of Israel. One more harvest is going to come to turn the hearts of the Israelite people back to you, Lord. What a great season in which we live. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. And we thank you for the opportunity that we could show gratitude back to you, that you are merciful and that you are a good, good Father. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, what a great time. Then we're going to start a season starting next week. The next 4 weeks starts the Christmas week season, the Advent season. We're going to talk about the birth of Jesus and the things of how not only did it apply back then, but how does it apply for us today? And living a season for a reason, that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins, but was born at a babe in a marriage, a manger. And what a great season that we are going to encounter. Folks, I want to thank you for being part. I just want to thank you for your mercy and for your graciousness and all the things of being part of Vital Ministries this year. And we just love you and we praise you. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.